advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King with me, Todd.
You say funny things.
Hey.
I'm impressed with your timing. You like jumped up in the middle of the song, went and got a Coke, and still made it back to ding the bell while I clanked my glass. It was impressive. Yep. And you didn't even have headphones on.
No.
That was impressive.
That was impressive. Yeah. He's that damn good.
The cartwheel, though, was the highlight.
Yeah.
That's how I got over here so quick. And if I didn't do the cartwheel, I wouldn't have made it in time.
Yeah. He was going to do a spinning shit kick in the middle of it. But
what's a spinning shit kick? It's when you wear a cowboy hat and do a spinning kick?
I've told you the tale of the spinning shit kick, haven't I?
I don't think so. I've never heard this.
I think so.
Mm-mm. A friend of mine was a big lifter, and he used to drink various protein drinks and like energy drinks. And we were all over it. This is back in Michigan. I was in high school. We were all over his house, and he had just gotten done working out, and all of us were waiting for him to take a shower, and we were going to go play Dungeons and Dragons. So he gets out of the shower. He comes in. He's got his towel around his waist, and he jumps in. And he had just drinking something called Blue Thunder, which was filled with Yohimbe, whatever right. that is. I don't know. But I
remember this story. I don't know if you said it on the podcast.
I don't know if I said it on the podcast or not, but he
Brent
jumps
won't
in.
Remember it anyway.
And he's like a martial artist, and he like, for no apparent reason but for the shock factor, he takes his towel off and like swings it around his head and like snaps it at one of our friends. And then he jumps up to do a jumping, spinning scissor kick. And I had just gotten up and left the room because I knew he was taking his towel off and I didn't want to see his dangly bits. So I walked
you
out.
You want to
of
see his danger fields?
I walked out of the room before his danger fields were exposed, and I'm really fucking glad I did, because in the midst of his jumping, spinning scissor kick, the Yohimbe and Blue Thunder had broken his bowels down into liquid that he couldn't control while doing a spinning scissor kick. So just a rain bird of shit flew out of his ass in a circle all the way around his bedroom.
Man, that's like a Japanese porno.
He jumped up and did the kick, and a 360 got on my friend of mine's brand new Jordans, and he got pissed and they got in a fight about it, but there was shit everywhere.
That sounds familiar though. I don't know if it was on the show or not.
Yeah, I don't know, but
don't know if it was on the show or not, but if I ever refer to a spinning shit kick, that's what I'm talking about.
Not everybody's listened to every episode, so they probably missed that one. That's a good one.
Spinning shit kick.
You said Dungeons and Dragons, and immediately Brent says nerd, says the owner of the computer shop.
That's made me a nerd because I fix it.
Yeah, kind of.
A mechanic doesn't make you a race car driver, right?
I guess maybe he's a geek and not a nerd.
Yeah.
I'm not even into it. I just fix it.
Makes robots.
I don't mess with them when I go home.
He makes robots,
okay,
computers.
Okay, fine.
Fucking the Goonies, 80s movies, anything that has to do with the 80s. You're not nerdy, though.
The Goonies has nothing to do with anything. That's just good.
Okay.
Oh.
Silence.
So I actually made the Captain Crunch chicken, as I promised I would. I did it, and it was fucking delicious. You guys are missing out. Yeah, I should have called Brad and at least had him come over.
Man, I've been eating, like, I just don't want to go to the store. And it's like, we had like, what can we make? We're like, shit on a shingle.
Right.
Like fucking gravy, hamburger, and bread. Like some old hot dog buns.
Is that
like,
really called shit on a shingle?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, like the hot dog buns are stale, and you let the gravy just soak in for a little bit, and then it becomes good.
Well,
again.
I realize that every time I cook, I'm like, damn, this is why we go to Taco Bell. Like, it was such a pain in the ass and such a big, like, 2 hour
production. It takes 3 hours. Yeah. 3 hours, 10 minutes to eat it, and 30 minutes to clean it up.
Unless something's wrong with my oven, but I was like, okay, what can we have? I'll make chicken strips. So I went and got chicken tenders, and then I bought a box of Captain Crunch, and then I got seasoned Italian and breadcrumbs. Mm-hmm. And then I made a separate egg wash for the chicken with the triple X Yucateco. So I made like hot ones. But it was such a fucking deal, like fucking Ziploc bags. Like I had 2 1-gallon Ziploc bags. There was fucking flour everywhere. I had to like roll a can of fucking vegetable soup over the fucking bag of Captain Crunch to mash it down to make the powder and then sit there and do the egg, the flour and then the egg wash.
I'm just laughing because you just turned into the guy from the... from the video, fucking chicken fried steak, fucking, right, fucking mashed potatoes, fucking right.
Moving
all
forward,
that fucking good shit. Fucking.
I'm going to try for the rest of the episode not to say it because when I was cutting audio, I was like, I got to quit saying that. I do what? Sound like a, sound fucking, like the Juggalo guy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to quit saying the F word. I'm banning it from my vernacular. Yes.
No.
But I baked it and instead of frying it, in hindsight, if I do it again, I'm baking or I'm frying everything. Yeah. I have a deep fryer. I was like, I don't want it. It'll take too long to go get my
I want a deep fryer.
It's just disposing of the oil, though, is a pain. Yeah. You know? And, like, what do you do with it? Like, it's in your kitchen, and it stays hot for, like, a day and a half.
Just put it in your gas tank. Your car will run.
I don't have a diesel
for a little bit.
Car. No, yeah.
Well, no,
just put
corn.
Put it where you put it, like, anyway? Motor oil. Like, just check the dipstick if you're low on oil. Just pour it in there.
It's probably
a little
fine.
Bit of power steering fluid.
It smells like donuts when you drive.
Exactly. Well, what I do is I just put it in a jug and just throw it in the trash.
That is not allowed. It's not okay. I don't think that's allowed.
Why not?
Well, if you get caught, it's not allowed.
Well, guess what? Yeah.
You can't pour it down the drain. That was the problem. But baking it, dude, French fries said 425 for 18 minutes. No, I reset the timer four. It was like 40 minutes.
Oh yeah,
and the French fries were still crunchy on one side.
Yeah,
yeah. No, there are reasons to go to restaurants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 8 minutes in the deep fryer. If I do that again, I'm starting over. But the Captain Crunch chicken and the Yucateco in the egg wash was awesome. It came out really good.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Was it Captain Crunch chicken?
It was Captain Crunch.
I put
a label over the box.
Okay.
I made a crude label. True. Yeah.
You wrote Tane on it?
Someone posted. I can't remember who did it, but someone posted the original Captain Crunch commercial on our page. Did you see it?
No.
It's a cartoon, and it's like from way back in the day, and it's all Captain Crunch. It's Cap'n.
Yeah.
All right.
Which, I accept because it got changed in the Matrix, right. So I'm fine with that.
I have friends. I was saying how you were flipping out about it being Cap'n Crunch, and they're like, yeah, it's always been Cap'n Crunch.
No, it's 50-50. When I talked to people about it, they were like, no way, blowing their mind like me. Or, yeah, it's Cap'n Crunch. It's always been Cap'n Crunch. And then Neil Stanifer posted like a book about the origins of naval captains and the slang terminology and where it originated from.
Leave it to Neil.
He posted a bunch of shit nobody cares about.
I realize it's not 60 pages. It's whatever percentage representation of the entirety that I make it through. So I didn't even make it through the entire post of Neil Stanifer. I just got down to like... And I started skimming. My attention span. I was like,
if it's 10 paragraphs, you make it through one.
I think it's like 20% or like 18% of whatever the total is. That's how far I make it. Whether that be 60 pages or
at least you're at 20 because I'm at like zero.
Yeah. I read most of it, Neil.
Yeah.
So I do have one more thing before we get into the topic. I had a very special and surprising El Yucateco moment this week.
Oh, too.
I was wearing my El Yucateco hat to work, and it was a Wednesday, which means I'm teaching in the prison. So I'm in the prison. And we have 22, you know, people in the class. And this, again, I said it before, it's a level 4 prison. I mean, these people are like gangsters and murderers and like hardcore, you know, most of them are older. They've been there for a really long time. But I was wearing my El Yucateco hat. And when they were on break and one of them came up and he was like, yo, Mo, now you can tell that's a hot sauce, right? And I was like, yeah, that's a hot sauce. And then one of them
smoking me some in your ass.
No,
that's totally what I'm ready for.
No. One of them was like, no, that stuff's the shit. I got some in my cell right now.
No way.
And then
you put
another,
it on top ramen.
Another guy was like, yeah, that's all I use. And I was like, which is it, like the habanero? Which one? And he was like, yeah, it's the habanero, the one with the 3 X's on it. And I was like, no, that's the XXX. That's not the habanero. And the other guy was like, yeah,
what's habanero?
What's habanero?
He was like, yeah, that's the only one you get. Cause then, you know, it's really hard to get a bottle. And then when you get a bottle, it's like, you know, it lasts so long cause it's so hot. Like you only need to use a little bit. And then so suddenly I had like this El Yucateco advertisement in the middle of fucking prison.
Yeah. Prison.
I'm not
fans.
Sure.
Is it sold in the commissary?
I don't know. I don't know if
family,
it comes in as a care
package. I think
package.
Family can bring them in stuff.
I think they can mail in stuff. Yeah. I think you can mail in stuff as long as it's sent from a company.
I'm surprised though. Cause it's one, it's a glass bottle. You could break that.
Yeah, but it might be changed to a plastic bottle. So there's a company that builds like TVs and they build stuff that's like tamper proof and the TVs are see through and there's like a bunch of, it's basically a company. They charge fucking 10 times the price, but the family can order stuff from that company and it gets sent to the inmate.
And they'll redo it.
Yeah. And it's made tamper proof. Yeah. But it's crazy. They could have hot sauce because that fucking triple X could blind people.
Yeah. You could use it.
Just fucking like, hey, Mr. Guard.
That was literally like, that was my next sentence. Yeah. It was like, you could break it or it's like, it could burn your eyes. Like,
no, but two of the cats in my class had triple X in their cells.
That's awesome.
Because I know, the last time I've had someone that I knew that was in prison.
Or maybe Dave just snitched on him and he's going to get shanked.
Yeah, that's right. You could send them stuff, but you had to either order it from another company or like you could order something sent to them through Amazon. As long as it wasn't through a third party buyer, because then they knew like this company sent it
from Amazon
and it's not, there's nobody else in the middle. So I don't know.
But it'd be anyway, better if he said he heard about it on our podcast. That'd be great.
So, but at the end of the day, the other people were enviously wanting El Yucateco. So maybe they'll,
Ask them if they had a radio so they could listen to our podcast?
No, I didn't.
Oh, they don't have internet. No. I don't know. Maybe they could. I think they could probably.
Illegally, apparently the yard
got
that
cell phones.
Drops a flash drive. Maybe you drop an iPod in the yard.
The yard that I teach in has 700 people in it, and last week they did a sweep and they found 100 cell phones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cell phones are big. And Top Ramen
is their butthole apparently.
Yeah, right now Top Ramen is bigger than cigarettes.
I read that. Top Ramen is the number
one. That's the number one currency.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, only because the food system is so poor, like the privatized food system, they started giving them just like bologna and some peas. Now they're like, they want ramen. That sucks.
But the thing is, from what I understand, the ramen is only that popular because of the spice packet.
Mm-hmm.
So wouldn't it be more effective to get like a big, like 32 ounce shaker of Pappies?
No, I think it's not just that.
Or fucking chicken bouillon.
It's just because calorically they're so deprived. Like they need calories
to be able to build muscle.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So today's topic is brought to you by a listener, Stephen Tapping, a long time ago, recommended that we take a look at Fukushima.
Mm-hmm. And our new sponsor, TEPCO.
So Fukushima, we wanted to look into it, and I mean this is, you know, most disasters that we look at all took place like before any of us were paying any attention, but I very vividly remember this one. It wasn't that long ago, obviously. I don't even have the year written down. Was it 2011?
Yes,
2011. I just remember being fucking blown away by the footage of the tsunami. Like, I just remember for hours just sitting in the living room watching footage because the tsunami was fucking horrible.
My memory is driving to the vitamin store to try to buy iodine pills, and all they had was kelp. That was the next best thing. It's all you could get. Everybody had bought all the iodine pills everywhere because there was all this talk about the fallout reaching the West Coast. Yeah.
So I will take this moment right now as a prepper and a survivalist to tell everyone listening that you should go to Amazon, pull the trigger on some iodine pills for you and your family. It costs no money because the instant you need it, you aren't going to find it anywhere because there isn't a big enough supply.
Yeah.
So get some. And
I
put
have
it in
some.
Your
I don't know if they're in that bug out bag. I was thinking about it while I was reading this. I was used to be upstairs, but where are they? I need to find out where they're at.
I've got some.
I've got some.
I've got enough for me. I've got enough for my wife. I have enough for my dogs, and I have enough for one other person.
Yeah, because one pill does like a 55 gallon drum or something like that. Like it's
no,
like,
that's for curing water. This is for your, it will bond with your thyroid. So
oh, that's
you can't
right.
absorb
that's
the
right.
Yeah. 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 You can use it to sterilize water, but you can also use it because the iodine blocks the radiation.
Yeah.
And that might be different too. There's like potassium iodide. I think the pills are, and that's just iodine or something. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
The water treatment I think is different than the pill.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But get the pill. Anyway, I just remember this.
And you won't get pregnant.
That's right. If you drink iodine, you won't get pregnant.
That might be true. You also might get dead. You won't get a lot of things.
I'm just saying.
You can't get AIDS.
You won't get cancer.
You'll no longer mistreat elephants.
That's right. Nothing. Yeah. You're cured of all your ills.
Yes.
So on at 5:46 a.m., Friday, March 11th, a 9.0 undersea megathrust earthquake, which was my favorite metal band in the 80s. Metal Thrust Earthquake. They had some.
I still have my shirt. It doesn't fit anymore.
That is a pretty good band name.
They had great. They had some great hits.
It's also a sex move that I do.
Metal Thrust. Yeah. Then it is the undersea mega thruster.
It only works if you have IKEA.
If it's, and if it's in, if it's in the dark completely, it's, all you hear is shing. And she knows. Yeah.
The IKEA bed has a platform around it, so it has to do with position of your feet. Right. Downward thrust.
I don't want to know.
Metal Thrust Earthquake.
So the earthquake, so again, we're leading up to the Fukushima meltdown, right? I mean, the earthquake is ultimately the cause.
I would also let's talk about the earthquake.
Yeah. I want to point out and define.
And I want to talk about the tsunami too.
Richter scale too. A lot of people aren't familiar with the Richter scale. Mm-hmm. A 9.0 is insane. So like when you hear like, oh, there was a 2.0 in California.
Or a four or five.
Yeah. Or something. You saw the thing shake. It works exponentially. So it's tenfold. So then it becomes 100-fold and then 1,000-fold. So 9 is like, how does that work out? It's like
nine is what flattened San Francisco.
It's also, Haiti, that horrible Haiti one was like an 8.1.
Northridge was a 7 something.
I might be wrong, but I think the, like a 7.1, when you go to a 7.2, it's times 10.
No way, that can't be.
Or is it from three to four is times 10?
It's each number. Each number is 10 more than the previous.
10 times exponentially.
But you see where
that's 10 more than the previous. So
a 7 to a 9 is insanely more than a 7.
Yeah, that's a massive, massive jump. So the thing is, the earthquake hit 43 miles east of Tohoku, Japan, and it hit underwater, right? It hit, what do I have? I want to say it was 1,600 feet underwater or something like that.
And the earthquake was predicted. So,
was it?
There was 800 years apiece where these earthquakes were happening, and they knew it. And it was actually had been 1,100 years, so this earthquake was overdue. Well, and this was one of the warnings that they told.
It was painted on silk, probably in some fucking room.
Yeah, but still, though, this motherfucker, they fucking predicted it, though. They went in and they said, look, you know, in the past, every 800 years or so, there's been this huge earthquake.
We're doing the same thing on the San Andreas Fault. We're way overdue on the big quake.
It's going to happen, though.
Meanwhile, people build fucking stilt houses in Fraser Park, which is like a mile from. What are you doing? Like, this is going to happen and fairly soon.
No, there's a place down south. I actually work on the fault line. Like, it's insane, and it's hot, you know, underground. Like, it's crazy. But this earthquake was 1,100 years now. It was overdue.
By 300
years. That's 300 years. I mean, that's a long time in our life, you know.
Yeah.
But 300 years overdue. And it happened.
So we're just waiting for it to happen. And the earthquake was so big. It was the most powerful recorded quake to ever hit Japan. It was the fourth most powerful earthquake ever recorded since 1900 when modern tracking started.
Well, that's until Brent gets to Japan and he does the
move.
That's true.
Metal thrust earthquake.
When he does the mega thrust, it's going
to
change.
I have to wear a Slayer shirt to do it, too. That puts the
metal. Or Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
The earthquake moved Honshu, which is the main island of Japan, 8 feet east.
Whoa, I did not read that.
It's fucking 8 feet east from where it was.
How did they even do that? They have some type of a track. They have some like.
It's appropriate that Honshu is named after a foot, like a shoe, and it moved.
I think that.
I don't think that has anything to do with it.
Oh.
I bet the GPS like locator that they use, it just tumbled over 8 feet and they just.
I think it is appropriate that Honshu is kind of like Han Solo and he gets in the Millennium Falcon and he moves.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
That one was weak. I knew you were going to try
to make it Star Wars. Well, so is the first one, but I just thought I'd throw it out there. But it shifted the Earth on its axis somewhere between 4 and 10 inches.
Jesus.
Like, so it's going to get hotter because of
them? So the earthquake was fucking massive.
Yeah.
Like the entire world was moved.
Right.
And Japan is permanently. I would guess that it's satellite records. Like you would have looked.
Right.
I mean, you probably know exactly where
Does the Earth. When it shifts off axis, does it come back or does it stay off axis?
I think it stays off axis.
Damn.
I think that's now it's permanent.
So if San Andreas hits and just wipes out everything, it's going to move again.
But John Cusack and The Rock are going to be cool.
They're
got it planned out.
At least they'll save us.
Mm-hmm.
The Tooth Fairy and
High fidelity. Yeah.
High fidelity.
You were stretching for the other.
Yeah, I didn't know. Yeah, John, I'm thinking the only one I can think of is his sister, and I don't know what movie she's in. I know she has a bowl cut. Looks like an anime character from one of the Japanese Fukushima meltdown cartoon.
I can't fault you on that one. So the quake, the ultimate statistics of the quake and the tsunami are pretty fucking horrible. In 2015, the Japanese National Police Agency, which is sort of the equivalent of their army, ended up doing a final total of deaths and missing people and all that stuff. They said that 15,894 confirmed deaths were done from here, and 92% of their deaths were from drownings because of the tsunami.
Like, yeah, the tsunami was rough. Yeah,
that's horrible.
And I think 12 people died due to radiation or the meltdown itself at the plant.
Yeah, very small number.
Yeah,
667 of those deaths were people who were crushed to death. From the earthquake, from just the buildings.
Can you imagine
collapsing
a 36? It was 12 meters, 36 feet high. So this building is like two stories, but from like our point where our feet are at to the roof is probably 30 feet.
It's like Point Blank. So Point Blank.
Yeah. So if Dave stood on the ledge of the building, the top of Dave's head from where our feet are at right now is probably 36 feet. Patrick, that's scary.
Patrick Swayze was standing on the cliff just waiting for it.
It's why so many people died, because there were, from what I read, there were 111 tsunami evacuation sites, because it's a very geologically active area. There's earthquakes all the time in Japan, just like there are in California, more so. And it's an island, so they're ready for tsunamis. Whenever there's an earthquake, it's tracked. The alarms go off. Everybody goes to a tsunami safe zone. They get away from the coast, and it's usually a wave comes in, wave goes out. It's not, you know, it doesn't destroy all the property and everything.
It's just a big wave. Yeah.
111 tsunami evacuation sites were completely overtaken by this tsunami. So one of the reasons so many people died is they went to where they always go when there's a tsunami,
and they died,
and they still died because they didn't go high enough away from
it was
the
too
waves
big.
Because the waves were so big. No one was expecting the waves to be this big on this tsunami. And I mean, I recommend, if you've never seen it, I remember one in particular, there was a news chopper that was flying over. It was either the city of Iramio or Orai.
Only Arnold Schwarzenegger is allowed to say chopper. You have to say helicopter. Right.
The chopper.
It was a news chopper.
Whoa.
That was either.
That scared the heck out of me, since I'm not saying that word anymore.
But it was flying over one of the, because two towns, Iramio and Orai, I'm sure I'm butchering both of them, were just completely destroyed, leveled to the ground. And you can see it happening as this helicopter is flying over it. And it's just this, you just see the water kind of doing its thing, moving up from the coast, and then it kind of hits, and it's just this black force of death. I mean, the water is just pitch black because of all the sediment and everything that's digging up. And it's just, there's just cars on the road, and the wave just overtakes all of them.
And it's not quite what you envision either. It's not that big wave that's going to have like a barrel that you're going to surf. It's not the Mozafa wave.
No.
It's just that the level of the water all of a sudden becomes higher.
Yeah, it's a flush of water.
Yeah.
Oh, and
it's maybe, like you said, at some points it was as high as 36 feet tall. So it's just like, there's just entire
water. Yeah. You're just chilling in the toilet bowl, and then all of a sudden somebody flushes the toilet on you.
That's right.
It can't get me though. I have a giant inflatable hamster ball full of Pop-Tarts and water.
Nice.
I've been planning for this for a while.
You'd be able to float.
Yeah.
I'll just let the string go and just float up.
Yep. Nothing can happen.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. You can actually buy those things. They sell them. They like
an
rent
inflatable
them at,
hamster
fairs
ball.
And stuff. Like those
you know,
giant
like you play football in or whatever. They roll down the hill.
You roll down the hill.
That would probably work.
It probably.
Except it would instantly get popped by debris, and then you'd be stuck in
actually,
a plastic.
Probably wouldn't work because it has holes.
Me and Steve call that Debris, because that's how they spelled it.
It would let
Debris.
My guess is the giant plastic inflatable hamster ball would keep you alive roughly 90 seconds longer.
If you had scuba gear.
And then you would be suffocated by the plastic. But the good thing is
if you had scuba gear, you're good.
No, you wouldn't need a body bag.
It has a rigid interior.
You would already be dead in a body bag.
I'm gonna build this thing. It has a rigid interior.
They do build them, actually.
Really? It's for that?
They build tsunami pods.
And it has one of those Navy SEAL
tsunami
things.
Tsunami pods?
You pull, they like build a tsunami. After this, they started building tsunami pods. They're these little metal pods that hold between one and three people.
So when
they
go
completely seal, they've got oxygen in them. Because you don't have to be, I mean, you don't have to wait long. The tsunami takes like an hour.
Yeah.
So you get in this thing, it gets bumped around, it gets thrashed, it gets whatever.
Goes down.
It's got two different hatches on it. So if you're whatever you're oriented on, you can still get out or whatever.
But they're just like, has to be, you'd have to be at your house where you have your tsunami.
You'd have to be at your house where your tsunami pod is.
Yeah.
But it was an hour. I mean, from the time this earthquake hit till the time the tsunami hit most of Japan was between 30 minutes and an hour.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even if you were at work and you were like, oh, earthquake 9.0, you're like, oh, shit, I'm getting home to
gather the family.
Tsunami pod. Get the Pop-Tarts.
Mine's more like a parachute. It has a ripcord and a backpack, and you just pull it. Instant hamster ball. No?
No, no, no.
I think it's better, I would probably not.
I would probably just say, oh, I've got between 30 minutes and an hour. I'm just going to get in the car and go way up there.
Yeah, maybe.
And then just
with
not,
your hamster pack.
And then just not be down here. But anyway, you just, I mean, just this black wall of death that's just gradually. And then it's like, oh, look, there's a semi truck that's just moving as if it weighs 2 pounds.
Yep.
And it's just, oh, look, that semi truck just destroyed a house and now it exploded. Oh, no more fire because the water. I mean, it's just this, just cars disappearing.
Like, oh, no, tsunami. Like, fire. Ah, yay, water. No water. It's like the highs and the lows of this thing is just insane.
It's a blender.
Hey, when we go to a Japanese restaurant and order the tsunami pod, do they get mad?
I don't know.
No?
You should just do it and see what they give you. Just like sit at the bar.
They
and
actually
like,
have the tsunami pod.
Like, they're like
$1,200, sir. I'm like, whoa. No.
And just own it. Just look them in the eye and say tsunami pod. And if they're like, I don't know what a tsunami pod is, just kind of be like,
you dick. You
don't
dick, Mr.
know
Jones.
What a tsunami pod is.
Yeah. And you then, guys are dead. You know,
see if they come up with something. But 92% of the almost 16,000 deaths were from drowning in the tsunami, not from the earthquake itself. There's still a total of 2,562 people that are considered missing because they never recovered their bodies. And there were 228,000 people who can no longer live where they have always lived because there is no town. They had to completely relocate.
There was a sad story about a guy who lost his family. You know, like they just went missing. And out of the entire town, his daughter is the only one that remains on the list of missing. They haven't found her remains. He found his wife, you know, dad. Fine. And he still goes back to this day. And they little by little, they look. He's only allowed to stay there for 5 hours at a time. And then they move him out.
Oh, is it in the exclusion zone?
Like, they can't go there. It still hasn't been, you know,
there's a guy
still
that went back and just lives there. And he takes care of all the animals.
Yeah, that guy's cool, too.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And they said I won't get sick for 30, 40 years. Yeah, I'll be dead in 30, 40 years anyway. I don't care. He literally like bottle feeds baby cows. There's goats. All the animals come up to him. He's like Johnny.
There's really cool. There's really cool photos of that guy like sleeping with kittens and like just taking care of the animals and he has like a tractor and he goes and gives the cows hay, you know, like just
that's
all kinds
awesome.
Of stuff.
He released them so they just roam free and whatnot, and they've tried to get him to like legally not do it and he just doesn't comply.
Yeah, the guy's like the guy that's doing the commentary on it's like it literally looks like the set of The Walking Dead.
Yeah,
like, and they show it's crazy, like overgrown cars.
He's just doing his thing.
Yeah, he's just walking around. He don't give a shit.
Because, and I guess ultimately 127,290 buildings fully collapsed. 127,000 buildings fully collapsed.
And who knows what weird material. Just when you go to Carl's Jr.'s, it says on the drive-thru that like they contain cancer.
Right, exactly. Cancer, no, exactly.
That's the California Prop 65 or whatever.
But then 270,000 buildings half collapsed and had to be demolished later. And then 747,000 buildings were damaged.
You used to build like a mulcher. Like you just keep loading debris. I'm going to call it debris. You load debris into the mulcher and it just spits out bricks. Just cancer bricks.
Nah, I don't know. I mean, I think there's like a plus side to this. Like the area is so contaminated and, you know, with debris and all kinds of like radiation that I think if you just like spent a little time there here and there, like it's like small short term radiation bursts that would keep cancer away.
Like, yeah, it's the best way to get superpowers, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's what that guy's after.
You just
after.
Take a spider with you?
That's what that guy's after. He's hanging around all these, he's waiting to get bitten by one of these radioactive animals so he can get their powers.
He'll just be kitten.
So
man.
What's the he worst, doesn't care.
What's the worst? Yeah, what's the worst animal to get bit by?
Maybe the, like, I think the cat. No, the kitten man, you still got some, yeah. He's got claws, yeah. You're spry.
Cattle man, he has like
scratched,
a fearless.
When he scratches
move.
His lower back, he just purrs.
Yeah, that's,
he,
well, that's his weakness,
that's
but.
That's his yeah. Kryptonite.
I don't know. I think cow man would be the worst. He would just kind of stand on a hill eating grass.
He has like an angry moo.
Be chewing yeah. His cud. Yeah. He has like a radioactive milk squirt attack.
Radioactive milk squirt attack. Like this cow walks around on his hind legs.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's what he's angling
like,
for.
Take this, evil villain. He's like a prison inmate.
I have jokes.
He's like
holding back.
He's like a prison inmate. A prison inmate that has El Yucateco. He just like, squirts just in people's eyes.
People.
He looks around at the utter destruction.
Oh God!
Thank you for that.
I held other ones back. Yeah, that one came out.
I liked it. Yeah.
Oh man!
So the water.
He's exposed to the danger fields.
The water from the wall, or the water of wall, rose from. Between 16 and 79 feet in certain ports.
A water of wall.
So in certain ports, there was a water of wall.
That's a magic
There was
card.
A wall of water that was as high as 79 feet when it hit certain Jeez. Ports. And then it would break and cut right. When it hit the ground. Mm-hmm. But at the port level, it was as high as almost 80 feet in some of the ports when it was still in the water. But okay. Then that thing hits the ground, and it's just this. And it doesn't even look like it's going fast when you see it like spreading over the city. It's faster than a person can run.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's just this patient push of destruction, you know, and it's like there's just all the debris that's
yes.
Getting thrown around in there, and you start to lose track of the fact that oh, that debris is half of a wall.
They're so fluently just
and this debris is a car, and it's just yeah. Like swirling around. I mean, it's
water.
Pretty gnarly.
It's like the movie Twister, but with water.
Yeah, I highly recommend watching some of those videos because it really kind of shows how fucked up this whole thing was. And again, so many people died because they were in places where they thought they were safe, but the yeah. Tsunami was so massive that it didn't do it. And I read that it went all the way to Chile, where the wave hit the shore and was still 6.6 feet high, but it didn't do like any massive damage, but it was still like a really high wave.
It was just
and
good surfing.
Apparently it mm-hmm. killed one American in America because there was a...
You're just the unlucky bastard. Yeah. Well, like that the tsunami hit in America.
Well,
like.
The thing hit and he knew, and I guess he was a photographer, and he went to the Klamath River near Crescent City in California, and he was at the edge of a river taking photos of like the river as the water levels were rising because the tsunami waves hit the coast.
Right.
And he got swept away by the water
Did
on the edge of the river and
pictures?
He drowned. I have no idea. I just know that there was one American fatality and it was a photographer trying to take pictures of the effect the tsunami was going to have once it hit America. So Damn. he was an especial dumbass.
The thing was
like, I'm because he had to wait like, oh, yeah. The tsunami hit. So let me get on the internet. How many calculations? Like, what time's it gonna hit the Klamath River? Oh, tomorrow at 11:35.
The crazy part was how you said like the evacuations caused more deaths. Like some yeah. of them, had they stayed put, would have been okay. Like, I think
yeah.
I read like 1,600 people or something died from the evacuation.
Yeah.
Because of poor living conditions, water that went through drainage systems that was contaminated that didn't expect, radiation plumes that were transferred from wind.
Yeah.
Like all kinds of weird stuff happened that they just didn't predict.
Yeah. And it was people. I mean, people were dying in the panic of the evacuation.
And this is just the tsunami.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah, no. This was from the things reactor. That I read were the evacuation from the reactor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like yeah, thousands.
Once,
like,
yeah. And once the reactor happened, actually, they moved away all the people that were next to the power plant. They actually moved them away, which actually put them in more harm's way because of they couldn't predict where the radiation was going to go.
Right.
And so they moved them further away, and that's where the radiation went, which instead sucks. Of right next to the plant. Like, if they would have just stayed where they were, they would have been better off.
Right. And then the ones who also, if they would have been better off because there was less radiation where they were in the first place, and the panic of, oh, shit, radiation, it was like, that's when 1,600 people get killed because they're running each other over.
Fucking
and
trampling each
like,
other.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's just, I mean, you always see, like, a disaster movie, and you see the politicians saying, I don't want word to get out of this because there's going to be panic in the streets. And it's like, you're goddamn right there's going to be panic.
Have you ever been in like a situation like at a concert or anything where you almost feel like you're going to get trampled?
Mm-hmm.
Like that happened. Like we were at a concert one time with Steve and like we're trying to get out and the whole crowd was just moving towards a 6-foot fence. I was like, what's going to happen? You're like, you're forced to climb the fence.
Right.
Like you're getting smashed. It's a super scary feeling.
Yeah. And then add like panic and people running in that type of a, I mean, you're just going to get trampled. And I mean, it's gnarly. Yeah. So the evacuation was bad. So the meltdown itself. So when the tsunami hits, there's two Fukushima reactors. There's Fukushima Daini and Fukushima Daiichi. Right.
Mm-hmm. There's actually six total
buildings.
But those
there's two different there's two different power plants
sites, I guess.
And they each, I know the one, the Daiichi, which is the one that had the meltdown, had six buildings in it. I don't know how many buildings.
There's one, two, and three are the mains. And then there's stuff within those.
Right.
So, one and three are the ones that one's the worst.
And these were all in Daiichi. Daini was higher up and didn't get damaged and everything was fine.
Out of the six buildings, two of them were in like what's called like a cold state or something. They were turned down. And then of the other four that were active, three had like total meltdowns and one of them didn't actually burst the structure, but did have like a meltdown inside.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
So what happens is there's, from what I read, there's three safety measures that are going to stop anything bad from happening. If there's an earthquake, these safety measures kick in. So safety measure number one is control rods come up that somehow slow down the reaction and stop the rods from getting
hot. We learned about this, the same thing.
In the Chernobyl episode. This is
still confusing.
They have rods that come in and out. Yeah. And basically when the rods are in, it's more reactive, you know, it gets hotter. And when they pull them, it's like a braking system.
Right.
So they put the brakes on.
So they put the brakes on, that's the control rods that went down as normal. Backup generators, because as soon as the quake hit, it was so bad that the power went out. So all of the nuclear reactors have their own diesel generators to run the cooling.
The pump.
Because at that point, you just have to keep pumping water into it. And for an hour, it was fine. The earthquake hit, power went off, cooling rods came up, the diesel generators kicked up, they started pumping cold water in. Nobody was worried about it, except the tsunami hit an hour later, went straight over the 14-foot wall, flooded the diesel generators. They all shut down.
Yep.
And then there's that weird backup system where the heat from
the steam
one, which is smart. I was like, brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah. That didn't exist in Chernobyl.
Right.
And if you don't know much about Chernobyl, we did do an episode on Chernobyl, so you can go back and listen to it because it was a lot worse than this. Yeah. The tsunami was here is fucking horrible, but the meltdown at Chernobyl is way worse than this, really, they
fucked up by preparations. They ignored regulations.
Yeah.
They didn't have an evacuation plan.
Right.
They didn't have measures in place to if this happened, they basically ignored everything.
And the big thing is these were encased in concrete and Chernobyl wasn't.
Right.
Yep. Yeah.
So,
and the thing I didn't understand about the steam conversion, so that was their third emergency system. So the thing is, the rods are still in, the nuclear rods are still in the water. They're still hot. They're still generating power by generating steam.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point. So the nuclear rod is hot. It goes into the water. It boils the water. It creates steam that generates the power. So the idea here is that the steam that's being generated from the hot rods, not the hot rods, ends up getting pumped in, getting sucked into some system where it's condensed back down into liquid and then poured back onto the rods to keep them
to cool.
Them.
It becomes self-circulating off the heat,
but I couldn't clearly understand why that it said that the water levels were just too low. And I don't know.
It wasn't supposed to go that long and it got so hot that it started to, the water, started boiling and created gas, and the entire reactor, I guess, is surrounded by nitrogen because the hydrogen that gets off put would react with the oxygen. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so it built up in that chamber. And so the normal thing to do is to release it to let the pressure off. But for some reason, maybe due to the earthquake, there were leaks with inside the system. And so instead of flooding directly outside, it got released inside and immediately the hydrogen reacted with the oxygen and caused an explosion and it blew the top off.
Yep.
And you can see
there's a video of that.
There's video of the top blowing off, and it's a massive explosion.
And it's just invisible death. Man. I mean, you see smoke, but what you don't see
you
is
see
what's
fire
going,
and smoke.
Same thing as Chernobyl. Yeah. That thing blew up.
Yep. And there's just radiation spewing from it.
And then you end up in a total meltdown state where that stuff gets so hot that it just melts through everything. It melts through steel, through concrete. It goes to the earth. It's like thermite. It just keeps falling through everything because it's so hot. It burns until it completely dissipates the heat.
And so but there were two hydrogen explosions, weren't there?
Three of the buildings were blown open and exposed. I think it was 1, 2, and 3. Number 4, they're arranged out of order, I think, too, when they were numbered. I remember looking at the diagram.
Yeah, there's
number
4, 5, and 6. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah, the concrete on, I think it was reactor 4, stayed sealed and contained, but everything had meltdown, though, and it melted through, like, the bottom.
Yeah, right.
It didn't blow up, but they still to this day, they have not been inside the building. This is number 2. They haven't been inside the building, and but because the radiation is so high,
you can't get in.
Yeah, it's so high. There's no way to go in.
Yeah, and even
and they're still cooling it at this.
And again, even with Chernobyl, in Chernobyl, and granted that was a long time ago, and we had really crappy robots. But since no one could get in there, we would try to send robots in to get information to do whatever. But the robots would fry because the radiation would kill them. And even here, the radiation is still so high in these buildings that even the robots.
And this is the same thing in Chernobyl. They're still cooling the reactors; like they're still running.
Right.
Yeah, they had to run into emergency mode, and they had to just start pumping seawater, which is like the least – that's the worst one you want to use because it's chemically active. It has salt in it.
Right.
Like they're supposed to use just inert water that doesn't have any like
– which the seawater is working.
It works because it's water. The
issue is it's contaminated.
Yeah.
Right. And now they have, what, 1,000 – fucking gigantic tanks that they're putting this water in.
And I don't think we get the whole story. Like during that initial thing, it was like either lose Japan or start pumping water on this thing.
It really was, because what would happen is if that really melted down, if they let it go, the entire city of Tokyo, all the way to Tokyo, and this is probably hundreds of miles away from the coast of Tokyo, or from where this is at to Tokyo, they would have had to evacuate Tokyo.
I saw an interview with the prime minister, and he said they were on the brink of like destruction of Japan. He said like if anything else had gone wrong, if there had been a follow-up earthquake or something else, like they almost just Japan wouldn't be more.
And it's due to, they call them the Fukushima 50 that went in. There were workers that sacrificed right after the event happened. 50 dudes went in and were able to start cooling everything.
They stayed there to make sure it didn't happen.
Yep.
And even a lot
of
people,
some of them didn't even know. They were inside still in the dark with no power. Trying to, it's just in suits. They had no idea how bad it was, what had even gone on outside. They just knew that they weren't allowed to leave because they were in lockdown containment. So those dudes were in the dark. How scary is that? That's like movie video game. They were just in lockdown.
Well, you're afraid of the dark.
In the dark,
not everybody
wearing
is.
Masks, suits, in a nuclear reactor. And
you
all
know,
they,
you know there was at least one chupacabra in there.
And you know it's not a drill.
So you know there's a chupacabra.
Chupacabras, they die in immediate radiation exposure. They don't hold up to that at all. Their original planet was mass from the
sun. I think they've
evolved. They're nocturnal, and they never have seen radiation because they lived in underground
So I guess it's the first time the workers aren't afraid of the chupacabra.
Yes, they knew that the one thing they didn't have to worry about was
anymore
the chupacabra.
Was that fucking chupacabra.
But Gary Coleman has been exposed over the years. Yes. High radiation levels, and he was there.
He feeds on it.
Yeah.
So these 50 people ended up risking their lives. A lot of them were some of the older people who like told the youngsters to get out because they were older and they didn't have much left ahead of them. And then a lot of people also sailed up in barges that were like using fire hoses and stuff to pump the ocean water up there. And they knew they were sitting there in the radiation doing it, but
you know,
they
knew
it had to be done.
I didn't know this.
Well, you're already fucked. Like, you
200 U.S. soldiers from the USS Reagan or something were ordered, and like all those guys have cancer now.
Yeah.
Yeah, like 200 American
were
soldiers
ordered in to
assist, and all those dudes all have cancer and illness, and they're all messed up.
I mean, that's one of those things. Like you sacrifice, you know, freedom isn't free, and you know, living isn't free. You know, people die, and 200 guys plus the 50 plus you know whoever else was there and around doing what they needed to do
to save Japan.
Millions. Yeah. Literally save Japan. Yeah, I mean, Japan and possibly, you know, we're not seeing a lot over here. But who knows if they really would have released and all that chemical does go into the ocean, like what really happens? Like, it gets diluted, but is Hawaii any good anymore? Right. You know what I mean? Like,
and it's still a big risk because you've talked about the 1,000 tanks. There's 1,000 tanks of ocean water that holds 750 million gallons of highly irradiated water.
Yeah. And so they're able to get rid of, from what I understand, they're able to get rid of everything that's contaminated in those tanks except for tritium.
Yeah, tritium is the
which is the worst. Too,
right.
Yeah, tritium which is the worst.
Thing that they can't get rid of.
They can't get rid of it. And so there's just water in these decaying tanks.
Yeah. And that's the key.
And they're leaking.
Decaying tanks that are leaking that if another big massive 9.0 hits, they're all going to split
if
open.
Those split. Yeah.
Oh, so there's
Japan's fucked. It's
every single day still currently, I believe, that you have to use 400 metric tons of water to cool it. And then they have to store it. There is no technology right now and no long-term solution other than pouring water on it and storing it. So it's just their end game is near.
And
it's
TEPCO.
Like if it's wind, you're going to run out of time or space.
Yeah.
They've tried to remove contaminated soil. There's these huge plots of land that are in these perfect squares that are just stacks of contaminated soil in hefty bags, in black garbage bags that are stacked. And during
the debris
storm,
is amazing.
The debris
is everywhere. Look at the overshot.
But in one of these, not a tsunami, but what's another word for a hurricane?
Tornado?
No.
Twister?
A storm came through, though, and washed away millions of those bags and or contaminated grass back into the ocean.
Yeah. Fuck.
It got flooded out and just went back into the ocean. And
we were talking about this before. Like, you have tons of water going back into the ocean and coming in, and there's a lot of stuff going back into the ocean. But the ocean is so huge, it dilutes that down to where it's not that much. It is very minute.
Typhoon is the word I was looking for.
Typhoon.
What is the difference between a typhoon and a hurricane?
Where it happens.
Yeah.
Really?
Like, seriously.
Typhoon is in Asia.
It's a typhoon in some parts of the world.
Yeah, we have hurricanes here.
So yeah, a typhoon came in and washed away all those bags of contaminated soil straight into the water.
Oops. Maybe we should have put a roof on them.
It might not have mattered too, though, because what are they going to build it out of? And they're running out of room. It's just, you can see these. You can look at pictures on the internet. And it's just these giant, it looks like agricultural plots and big giant rectangles. And they're just stacks and stacks and stacks of contaminated soil and plastic bags. And then those tanks that are crudely made, the ones leaking. And so they're all designed the same. It's only a matter of time before it starts leaking. And there's only so much room. Japan's not that big. That's 400 metric tons of water
per
day.
Where do you put it?
And there's 400 metric tons of groundwater seeping into the reactors in addition to the 400 metric tons that they're putting in. So if it's getting in, it's definitely getting out.
Absolutely.
Into the ground.
Yeah.
So it's horrible. It's like everyone's like, well, it's not that bad. It showed up in California. There's not that much. It's not measurable. People are checking it. But it's just a matter of time.
Right.
We still don't have any technology to figure it out. Like, look at Chernobyl, how much time has passed, and they're just building a big box over it.
Right.
Well, TEPCO said that they literally have not invented the technology or the know-how to yet figure out how to deal with this catastrophic event. Like, it is, they said that, and they're the ones dealing with the cleanup.
You would think that someone somewhere,
it seems to me that there's
would have
be...
thought of like some, because I have no, I mean, looking at it happen in Russia, looking at it happen in Japan, technological, you know, breadbasket of the world, Japan. And it's like, we have them here in the States. I'm like, so if the Diablo plant near us melts down, I have no faith that the government has some way to stop it.
They don't.
They don't. It's
Is
just, you just hope it doesn't fucking happen.
Diablo?
It's called the Diablo plant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's scary. Why would they name it that?
Because if it melts down,
why wouldn't you name it that?
Well, and that's, we've talked about this before, and that's
hell.
What people are, in an apocalyptic situation, like, that's what's going to get you. If you make it, you didn't make it. You just made it a little while longer,
because
all those generators go off, and all the reactors, there's like 200 something reactors all over the United States, says they're all going to go down. It's 200 Fukushima.
There's a lot all over the world. If everything's shut down, it's
if the lights go out,
goners.
That's probably why they won't do an EMP, because if the lights go out, it affects everybody. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, if you completely drop the fuel rods out of the reaction and just had them like stored and inert, then if something happened, I don't think there would be a problem.
No, you have to constantly be pumped, regulated, and circulated. That's why the power has to be there. If there's no power,
even when the rods are pulled out of the water,
there's no off button on reactors.
Once you start it, you can't shut it off.
Yeah. And so the only way to do it, like the thing that they originally did, because they're like, look, it's kind of scary. Nothing's happening. We put the original stuff in there and it starts this reaction and it just boils water. We're not burning anything. We're not burning almond shells. It's not a cogen plant. You don't need this resource. It just starts the reaction and it goes. But what they didn't account for is the cost of the storage of the spent rods and the risk factor. Like, what's the cost of that? Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't know how many. It's like trillions and trillions of dollars. Yeah.
How would you like to be the one to go in and have to change the rods?
No, thanks.
I'm sure there's some system.
Yeah, no, they do shit.
They
do,
I mean, somebody does it. So this one, the Fukushima one, was a measure. It was level 7 on the international nuclear event scale. Which, and I was like, oh, it was a 7. That doesn't sound so bad.
No, 7 is the 10.
Like, what's, you know, how high does the scale go? 7.
Yeah. Like, catastrophic event.
Yeah. So, 7 was, and it's even weird. I looked at it and I was like, okay. And I looked at the categories because there's not a whole lot on the INES website. Level 1 is an anomaly. Level 2 is an incident. I don't know what the difference is between.
I think anomaly is like some unaccounted for thing that like we can't really avoid it. A little bit of contamination happens. Yeah.
Okay. Level 3 is a serious incident.
Right.
Which you can't confuse with level 4, which is an accident with local consequences.
Right.
Oh, so killing people.
Level 5 is an accident with wider consequences.
Spread.
A little bit vague.
Yeah.
Wider.
It's spread.
It's not. Yeah. Is it low? Is it widespread? It's wider.
It went beyond
local.
Okay,
it's a 5 then. Yeah. And then 6 is serious accident, and then 7 is major event.
I think it's funny how the scale in a world of 1 to 10s, how did they get it 1?
Yeah,
to
they
7?
Just came up
it's
with a 7.
It's because they started at the bottom when they got the 7. They're like, that's as fucked up as it gets.
Yeah. I think they should like it should be like you have abnormalities on there. Like level 1's like 5 fingers or 6 fingers, you know, like, and then you have a like level 2's like fucking you can count to 14.
Right. Level 3 is 2-headed fish.
Yeah.
You know, level 4 is super mutant wandering the wastelands.
Maybe after
of
level
Yeah,
I think after level 7, there's no one left to rate it. Is the problem? Like,
yeah,
there is no one. To
it just goes abnormalities, and then level 7 is death.
Yeah,
like
level 8 is goodbye, cruel world.
Yeah.
So it was 2 weeks from what I read of major radiation before they were able to get it stable enough with the cooling so that the radiation still wasn't leaking. And whatever they call the official cold shutdown condition, which I guess is the ideal state.
It's when the water is below 100 degrees, I think, in the reactor on like it becomes. Yeah, it's when the water in the reactor is below 100 degrees.
And so that's the cold shutdown condition.
Yeah, and you can keep it there.
So that didn't happen until December, and the thing happened in March. So it was 9 months before they could get it basically under control.
Right. Yeah.
And as a consequence, we've got the 1,000, massive tanks full of radioactive tritium water that we can't do anything with.
And 9 months is enough time for radiation babies, too. Just perfectly.
That is.
Yeah.
That is.
Can't you just pump that water into space? Like make a pipeline to space and just shoot it out there?
No.
Why not?
Because it's 8 pounds per gallon. That's crazy. You can't pump.
Do it.
You know what kind of pump you'd have to head like that, man, to push that far?
Well, you'd have multiple pumps all the way up.
What's holding the pumps?
That's what they do with the pipeline. I don't know.
It's turtles all the way
down. I'm not a fucking engineer. Like, Jesus Christ. What do they do with the pumps? I'm just saying. I have the idea. I'm the idea man.
Right.
Someone called out a shop last week. That's what drives me crazy about people with their inventions. They're like, they just have an idea. I'm like, you have an idea. That's no shit.
You don't
shit.
Have the
like,
solution.
Yeah,
though.
Like, you know, it'd be cool. Flying cars. Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, that sure fucking would.
An anti-gravity engine you have to invent.
I disagree about the flying cars.
But someone called my shop and they were like, yeah, I was referred to you because you guys are good with technology. We're like, okay. And they said, this is what I need. I need help developing the technology so that when you point at a vegetable, it tells you all the information about it and the price. And I was like,
that's pretty sweet. That's like, a good app.
Yeah, call Elon Musk or something. What are you talking about? Yeah. That's like
Hey, sir, Tesla's dead.
Yeah. Like, that's not, you're talking about like, you know what I mean? There's no, you can't do that.
What are we, the X-Men? Yeah. Like, Jesus Christ.
When you've built it and you have a problem with your motherboard, I'll gladly swap it out, sir.
He's like, I want to talk to someone there, man. I got this diet idea. It'd be a pill that you can take and then you just lose all your weight and you're
Why
in
wouldn't you
shape,
just
man.
Say like,
I just need your help.
Yeah, it's, I need your help. You know, a doctor that can help me with that?
That's a great app. app though on your phone, like you like, oh, banana, you it knows it's a banana, right, and it just gives you the information. Yeah,
we'll
like,
get there. Cool. We'll get there eventually, but that's Google's cool. making that, not yeah. the local computer shop.
Yeah,
like people right. drive me crazy. Some
you
guy
just
called
totally
me,
fucked that guy.
Some guy called me the
because now somebody listening right now is like, oh shit, I could build that app right now. Yeah.
Do good.
Brad will be able to get bananas at a good price with the ease yeah. of a smartphone.
That's right.
Someone yeah. called last
I'll
week.
Know exactly
too,
what
they were like, hey man, I heard that there's 3D printer technology and I make knives and I want to be able to just print all my handles. I was like, yeah, sure. He's like, you guys help me with that? I was like, no, you're the guy making knives. You have to get a 3D printer and figure that out.
Yeah.
You have to go and make the people crack me up with their shit like
Can
that.
Can you help me with that?
Yeah. We just need a radiation bomb that blows up all the radiation, man. That's probably what it is, though. There's going to be something that's like antimatter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like anti-radiation. It's an inert ingredient.
It sucks in the radiation
that's
particle.
That's lacking the molecule, yeah.
And then it changes, and then it's not harmful anymore.
Yeah, it'll be like a sacrificial element. So it's missing whatever the other one's positive that makes it radioactive.
And then it sucks.
Well, it's just like you have oxygen, hydrogen turns into...
So to those scientists out there, man, I need some help. I got an idea.
I got an idea.
It's this thing that would make the radiation go away, man.
Yeah.
And it would just fit. It would be light. It would be cheap. Yeah. It just fit in a pocket, and you just take it, and you just open it, and the radiation's gone.
So could can, be. Yeah. Can you help, oh, it's like Ghostbusters. They throw out the ghost
nice.
Trap.
Yeah.
And then, like, you step on the button, mm-hmm. and then it just sucks in the radiation, fucking and it traps it.
Twinkies come out the other side, man. Yep.
And
then people
and you
just
can
eat them.
And that is how you get rid of the waste.
It's a good idea. It's just got to figure out how to do it.
Got to figure it out. We need to call a local computer shop.
It's like a basketball coach. He's like, all right, guys, I need you to score more points than the other team. This is our game plan, man. Just score, run faster.
As long as you're faster and you score more points.
And then if they try to score a point, don't let them do it.
That's the game plan.
Best coach in the world right there. Yeah.
Yep. Well, that's exactly how you win.
Yeah. It is exactly.
You don't
that's
let
exactly
them score
how
points
you win.
And you score points.
That's exactly how you win.
Because if you don't score points, you can't win the game.
Right.
If you don't score, you can't win.
That's the same principle.
Yep.
All right. Nuclear reactors.
Okay. So at this point, I looked into all this, and at that point, every time you read anything, it's talking about the dangers of the radiation that's leaked out. And I'm especially curious because a lot of people talk about the dangers of the West Coast in California and what effect it's having on the West Coast and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know if you guys found different stuff than I did, but I'm just not really seeing...
Oh, were we supposed to look into that?
No, see, Brad said innocent, that there wasn't stuff. But when you look at, like, Wikipedia and whatnot, it's all really innocent because I think they're accepting the official story from Japan. Then when you look at, like, other smaller third-party research
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, people that actually go out and look, they're saying there's nothing. Like obviously, Hawaii is monitoring
ocean water. So I saw the opposite. I looked at a lot of things, but once you're down that rabbit hole, you're down that rabbit hole.
Yeah,
but I saw, like, droves of animals dying off, and they're not sure why. It could be related to warmer water, like, problems with
there's,
sea lions.
There's a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Crabs,
I saw this stuff with sea lions, and they were talking about this special
are they radioactive
fungal
sea
bloom
lions,
that happened that would have caused the death of the sea lions.
This
lion.
Is the
so
problem,
it's like,
though, is that butterfly effect of the ecological like fallout.
Yeah.
So it could be that some microbial thing that is affected by that small particle that some plankton thing eats,
yeah.
that some fish eats, that the sea lions
eat. And that's true. That's true because they've been monitoring a butterfly there that actually changed. It mutated.
I saw that. And it's not
daisies were like these crazy, like they've actually changed.
Yeah, I did see those mutated flowers.
And the weird thing about the butterfly is that the insects are usually not affected by radiation.
Right.
So that was interesting to them that they saw this butterfly change.
The other side of that is although
could have been genetic,
are generally less affected
Darwinism.
By that. No, is the fact that their life cycle's so short, you get the generation, you get 100 generations in a time, you get one human generation.
True, right.
So you see what would happen to humans. We talked about that in Chernobyl in something like a butterfly.
True.
Because it's like, oh, in the time that we've, you know, our kid turned 10, 1,000 butterflies have been born and died. You know what I mean? And so the generation.
So by the time your kid's 60,
that defect is multiplied and you have a completely different species, you know?
Yeah.
So it was a trip. I saw a lot of things about that. Like some people said it wasn't even safe to surf off the off West Coast, like in California, that you shouldn't be out in the water. They showed.
If you test the water though, there's no traces of radiation.
And there was a
map floating around on Facebook. And this is the problem with Facebook. And we've talked about the memes and everything before was that the map showed like, this is the radiation. Radiation seepage
right
here. That wasn't radiation seepage. Those are tsunami records and recordings, and people just labeled it a radiation seepage thing because
scarier.
It looked like, you had blue, green, yellow, red, and like this streak just going towards California.
No, I saw that.
That's not a radiation map. So people see this information and they twist it and they take it the wrong way.
Well, the Japanese coast does have some of the strongest currents as far as that's considered. And yes, like they have shown like a computer generated predictive current flows and stuff like that. And as far as if they really found it, it's conflicting. You found a bunch of stuff that said not a big deal. This place in Hawaii is monitoring.
Yeah. Because if you take the amount of water in the actual Pacific Ocean, it is mind-boggling,
right? Dropping the puddle as far as radiation.
Yeah, and you say like, oh, there's tons and tons of water going in. Well, compared to what's in the ocean, it's diluted. Just like if you take a drop of something and put it in, you know, a giant jug of water,
right?
It dilutes it. Like even bleach, you can drink it for your AIDS, you know, treatment. Drop at a time. About? Yeah, like you take a drop. Like if you just guzzled out of the bleach carton, you're going to die, right?
Here's the difference.
But if you just dropped it and it dilutes it,
if you had 1 gallon of water that had a thriving host of algae inside the water, and you put a couple drops of bleach in there, algae's dead. We drink it; it's clean water. It's fine. Not going to hurt us.
Yeah.
So the problem is the sliding scale is a cascading effect of bottom to top.
I'm not saying that
it may dilute the shit out of it, but ultimately, it could be ecologically,
it's going to get.
Well, and there was no determination that it wasn't affecting it, the fish and stuff, because there were radioactive tuna.
Right. Yeah.
Because there were, you know, radioactive.
Because everything that I read was looking specifically at safety for humans on the West Coast.
Right.
And the thing, there was a guy from Popular Mechanics, which isn't necessarily scholarly, but he sat down.
I used to like Popular Mechanics. And then some of the stuff they've put out, stuff on 9/11.
I mean, this stuff looked legit. The guy looked and he said, he was talking specifically about the water and everything from the initial meltdown, the tsunami, the meltdown, et cetera. He's not talking about the 1,000 tanks. He's talking about right there.
Right after.
And he says, as for claims that the collapse of the Unit 4 spent fuel pool might render the American West Coast uninhabitable, because that's what some people were thinking.
Right.
He said, I calculated the dissolving of all the fuel of all three operating reactors, plus the entire contents of all the spent fuel pools at Fukushima into the waters of the Northern Pacific would still give a person swimming in the ocean off Hawaii, Alaska, or California about 1/1,000,000,000th the amount of radiation dose needed to cause any harms. In the words of oceanographer Miriam Goldstein, radioactivity from this incident in seawater is detectable but not hazardous.
Yeah. If the dilution was homogenized.
Damn, Bill.
Yeah. Like, what'd I do? I was trying not to interrupt Dave. I thought he was gonna come in with another one. I was like,
hey, well, no, I've got a couple
you did
other.
It in let the middle
me,
of
let
years,
me,
yeah.
Let me throw another one out. There's a group called the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute. It's a nonprofit group that studies the amounts of radiation in the ocean. That's what it does all the time, not just because of Fukushima. And they had a team of 17 scientists from 8 organizations measure specifically cesium. All they were looking at was cesium, I think 134 and 137, which is what was mostly released from the reactor. And they said it was elevated, but below the level for human harm. It gave, it said that if you spent an entire day in the, no, it said if you spent an entire year in the water, it gave you the equivalent of an airplane flight from New York to Tokyo in radiation that your body was absorbing.
Right.
So, I mean, but that
people
was,
do that all
that's
the time.
My problem though is that's like in a perfect environment, if it was a homogenized, like if everything was equal and you perfectly stirred the ocean, but the ocean doesn't work like that. It has currents, you know what I mean? There's the currents that are based just off temperature. You can see with thermal charts like where water stays in specific pockets, you know what I mean? Even in your, like I was a pool guy for a while. In a swimming pool, you get these weird spots on the ground where there's like, why is there dirt in a perfect circle in these three spots?
It's magnetic.
The water is flowing in that way, and that stuff stays concentrated in those areas. So if you poured sugar in a glass and didn't stir it with a spoon, if you live at the bottom of the glass, there's a whole bunch of sugar.
It would eventually dissolve though.
Eventually, yeah. So long term, but there is an immediate threat regardless of what Popular Mechanics says, because he's saying if you took all this stuff and you dispersed it evenly across the entire continent of the ocean.
There's two sides. Like and you're right. Like, you know, like there's no way we know for sure, but there's definitely two sides of it. One of it is that human inhabitants, you're okay, but doesn't mean the fish are and everything else, you know, stuff like that. The other side of it is that the government is covering up. They don't want you to know what's really going
to
happen.
Face, we probably don't have the real number.
Not even that. Like, do you want people panicking? I mean, being government in California or something like that, do you want everybody moving out of California? No, because the state would go bankrupt.
Right.
Oh, excuse me, it already is. But, you know, so, you know, you try and save face, like you said, and not scare people and put people into a panic because of these measures that are taken to kind of contain everything. The other side of it is that maybe there isn't anything, you know, I mean, like, you
that's,
know,
people I mean, freak that's out the thing.
And make I keep, up stuff. And
the, cause again, I kept looking, there's a group called the Moore Foundation. And they funded a study looking at it and they had detected, and this was in 2015, they were measuring the water off the coast of California. They found what they called 11 becquerels of radiation per right. cubic meter. And it was all cesium 134 and 137, which proved it was very specifically this. This is from Fukushima.
Yeah.
They said that to put 11 becquerels in perspective, a single dental x-ray would expose a person to 1,000 times more radiation than swimming in that water for an entire year.
Yeah.
It's about 500 times lower than the U.S. government standard for safe drinking water.
Yeah.
And then there was another group called Kelp Watch, which specifically started monitoring kelp after the Fukushima thing. And in 2015, they had 52 marine scientists take kelp samples from everywhere from Alaska down to Baja California and Mexico. And they said that there were no detectable levels of radioactive isotopes in kelp or seaweed tissue. And it's like, because you keep hearing all these like alarmist California's fucked. And I just kept trying to find as many people as I could.
And there's all these individual studies too, not governmental, not this or that. They're individual groups that are going out and performing their own studies and they're coming back with inconclusive evidence that there's high amounts of radiation.
I just couldn't find the evidence that said that the radiation is there. Now, conversely, if a huge fucking tsunami or another 9.0 hits where those fucking 750 million gallons of highly irradiated water.
According to popular mechanics, that's okay though. You could put all those reactors and all their spent fuel in the ocean. It would be okay.
And that's no. They were saying from the water that leaked on the day of the.
No, you said.
No.
When you read it, you said even the contents of the spent fuel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he was talking about the. I believe that's not what he was talking about. He said the spent fuel pools, which would have been the normal pools at the reactor during,
not what's
at
built
that
up
moment.
Now.
Yeah, not what's – no, he was talking about the stuff that leaked on that day.
Okay. I was under the impression he was like
– No.
Not only the water, but if you just put the whole reactor in the ocean.
He was saying the leakage from that day is what that guy was talking about. So – and I kept finding people that were saying there's all this danger. And again, I was even like, it's going to fuck all these other like lower organisms and all this stuff. And then I saw the kelp thing where there's no radiation absorbed in the kelp, but I'm like, maybe kelp doesn't absorb radiation.
Maybe.
I mean, I can't.
I'm sure there's other people, you know, fucking with animals, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like testing them and plants and stuff like
that. So, I mean, I'm not trying to take away from the level of the disaster or say this isn't fucking our ecology. I'm just like, there's huge people saying that Fukushima fucked California and you can't get in the water and all that stuff. And everything I'm reading is like, nope, the water from Alaska to Baja is totally fine. Even the water at Hawaii is fine.
Yeah.
And that's half the distance.
Yeah, way closer.
You know, But as far as, in Japan itself, their number one concern is drinking water.
Right.
Because all this shit is in the water.
Are the beaches around Japan, like, do they not? I mean, was there a surfing community there? Do people still go to the beach? Because
I don't know.
I'm sure it's okay.
Is it just
barren
beaches? I don't know.
No, I don't know. I bet you it's okay. I mean, the other thing with they were concerned, speaking of drinking water, is because there's thousands, or actually, was it millions of gallons of drinking water actually going into the reactors also.
Yeah,
so not only the seawater. Yeah, you had mentioned that. So it's going back into the drinking water, and that's a huge concern.
And they're not even sure that one that might have burned all the way through. It might be in the ground. The burning material could be
because they haven't been inside.
Yeah.
And they said cesium 134 and cesium 137 are water soluble, so they attach to water.
Right. Yeah.
So that's
great.
No bueno. That is not fucking good. Well,
and then the long-term thing just of accumulation of daily 400 metric tons of water going through there. And then, I mean, not only you're just going to run out of room. What's the end game? Like, I don't understand what they're.
I mean, if you microwave a glass of water, how much radiation do you get in that? I mean, I'm,
That's different. That's just a wavelength. Microwave is just a wavelength going through the water that excites the molecules to make.
Well, I've always heard don't put your face up to the microwave while it's on.
Probably not
stuff,
a good idea
because like,
cook your face.
Is, I don't think
there's
so.
Like
I cooked my hand in a microwave once.
I mean, my friend cooked a cat.
You held the safety button and put your hand in there?
No. A friend of mine had a really old apartment like that was built in, not really old. It was probably built in the 70s or something. And there was a microwave oven built into the thing. And like we were staying the night over there because I think we were flying out the next day or something. And like one of the first things she said when we all got there was no matter what, like when we were in the kitchen, she was like, if you're in the kitchen and you're cooking something, don't put your hand in the microwave when it's on.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? Well, yeah, okay. But I'm just kind of doing my own business and whatever. And then I had something in there and you had to turn it around at the midpoint. And I just opened it and reached my hand in
it
and
stops.
Turned the thing around. It doesn't stop.
Oh, it
was broken. Like
it
this micro. No, because it was old and there was no stop. Like when you opened the micro, if you turned it off and it opened work. It, you're cool. But the timer
it
was
didn't
still
have a safety on
it. And it was like an old dial one.
Yeah.
And everyone you've ever seen, there's a dial and it's cranking. But then when you open it, it turns off.
Ding.
This one doesn't turn off. And it took me a second. I opened it and I was moving the thing around and I could still hear that it was on. Ooh. And like all of a sudden, all the joints in my hand started to hurt.
Yeah, because they were cooking.
It was cooking the water out.
Are
you serious? Yes, I'm serious. And yeah. Lisa jumped up and said, Jesus Christ, get your hand out of the microwave.
After she just told you.
Yeah. That's like a kid. Don't touch a stove.
I remember I did it one time. I
went but outside. I was like, the microwave isn't on. I just opened it. Like, your brain is like, of course, no, the microwave isn't on. I opened it. Like, why would I,
on.
You know? And yeah, she was like, I told you that. And I was like, I thought you were kidding. Like, what the fuck? What do you mean? Like, yeah. So I did microwave my hand.
My mom screamed and ran in the kitchen and saved me one time because I don't know what happens long term. I think it just breaks your microwave. But I brought a rock
metal
in and I wrapped it in foil and I drew like symbols on it with a blue Crayola.
That shit'll catch fire.
Like, yeah, whatever. And I hit the thing and I was trying to make a magic rock. I remember I was like, I might have been
I'm in a microwave.
And I was trying to make a magic rock. So I wrapped a rock up in foil to make it look cool. And I drew these symbols on it and stuff. Then I went and put it in the microwave and I just hit like beep, 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 start.
Fucking
and
baked
all of a
potato.
Sudden I'm just sitting there staring at it and blue lightning bolts are just
You're like, yes, it's happening.
Exactly. That's exactly
my magic
what
is strong.
I was like, oh my God, it's working. You know, for me, I'm 5. And my mom's like, what's that noise? And she looks and she's like, oh my God. And like runs in there and turns off the microwave and opens it. And there's just like a charred rock with like burnt foil parts that are like blown off. And I was like, I was trying to make a magic rock.
Yeah.
Not good.
My
and
friend,
that's how he summoned the chupacabra.
The best thing you can do is take a CD. So this is what my friend did to me. If you can find a CD nowadays, but he took a blank CD and he put it in the microwave and he's like, dude, check this out. And he starts it like 30 seconds or whatever. And you watch the CD and it's encased in plastic. You know, a CD is encased in plastic, but it has metal inside of it. So it's like, it's just like glowing and doing all this crazy, like the lightning bolt shit, but it's inside the CD. And I was like, oh, that's crazy. And he's like, yeah, it's nuts. And he opens the microwave and grabs it and pretends like it's electrocuting him. And I'm like, holy fuck. Like, and he's like, fucking, you know, like, fuck it. Like foaming at the mouth and shit. And I'm like, what the fuck's going on? And then he starts laughing.
Have you ever seen how you can make a plasma gas with a grape?
No.
You can take a grape and cut it in half, but leave the last part of the skin attached. And then just put it on a paper towel, like a cut
where it's
side
like
up.
Flapped open.
Yeah, but it's touching with the skin in the middle still. And then you put a jar over it. It's kind of tricky to do, but when it works, it's really cool. And then you just turn on the microwave and it goes womp. And this like cloud of glowing magic comes out of the grape and gets stuck in the top of the jar until it vibrates and resonates. And you think the jar is going to explode because it catches the excited plasma gas in the top of the jar.
Hmm.
It's gnarly.
I've never seen that.
And it makes a noise that's like...
It's fucking scary.
Yeah, it's really scary.
It sounds safe, too.
Is that like the soul going out of the grape?
It is.
So. That's like that.
Dang.
We've captured the soul of a grape.
If a grape has that much soul, it should seem like it came out of Dave's hand.
Yeah. He just didn't
and
have a jar
black.
Over
he's
it.
He's got tons of soul.
That's right. Oh, I got extra soul.
Shit. That's why it was crazy.
He might have been wearing soul glow.
Oh, fuck.
So I think the other thing that we definitely need to talk about is, I mean, aside from the contaminated water, which is the number one threat right now in Japan because of it. And I even read that there's some sort of an argument going on between the ex-prime minister and the current prime minister, because the current prime minister says that all the drinking water will be completely safe by 2020 when the new Olympics are supposed to hit Japan.
Right.
And the old prime minister is saying this is a complete lie and is accusing the current prime minister of lying and that the water is not safe. And
the Brazil stuff, like, yeah, that, like, it's just not safe. You'll die if you drink the water when you're swimming.
Right.
Now you're going to get radioactive
water.
Yeah,
don't worry about it.
But then, so I started to look at it, and a lot of this, I think, in order to fully discuss this, I think we have to talk about TEPCO, which is the Tokyo Electric Power Company. Because there
were
whose fault this was, and this is really what it comes down to. I mean, granted, they didn't cause the earthquake, they didn't cause the tsunami, but they didn't have anything in place to stop this from happening. On July 5th in 2012, the Fukushima Nuclear Accident Independent Investigation Commission found that the causes of the accident had been foreseeable and that the plant operator, TEPCO, had failed to meet basic safety requirements such as risk assessment, preparing for containment collateral damage, and developing evacuation plans. So TEPCO didn't have everything in place.
Which is something you think if you run a nuclear power plant, you would have.
Yeah.
I mean,
after something like this happens, do we not have an international committee that is like examining every nuclear power plant in the world?
Well, because here's the thing. In 1991, one of the generators at that exact power plant flooded from a smaller tsunami and caused problems, but it wasn't like some epic scale thing. So they already knew this was something that could happen because it had already happened before on a real small scale, but everything else was still in place to do containment. In 2008, TEPCO did an in-house study and it revealed the weaknesses in the plant if a major tsunami hit the area. Like in 2008, their own study said if a major tsunami hits,
we're fucked.
But the company ultimately ruled that the level of tsunami that they're talking about is unrealistic, so they completely ignored it. It's kind of like the levees in New Orleans. It was like everybody was like, well, if a storm this big comes, and they're like, storms that big don't come. And it's like,
that's usually when somebody didn't knock on wood.
Right.
Yeah. Like that's all it was like fucking like, that's never going to happen. Knock on wood, and it doesn't.
Yeah.
As soon as they say that and don't knock on wood, it's over.
And then in 2008, also the G8 Nuclear Safety and Security Group in Tokyo said that a quake over 7.0 could jeopardize nuclear power plants all through Japan if they didn't have proper safety equipment. So starting as early as 2008. Well, in 91, they already had the same exact thing happen on a smaller scale.
Right.
In 2008, they get their own report and a report from the G8 saying, you guys are fucked if a big quake or tsunami hits. And they didn't do anything to fix this. I mean,
they thought about it for a second and they're all karaoke and then they ran out. and then they went to the bar.
They just didn't do it. So I
bought some panties from a vending machine.
All the stuff that went down was stuff that was largely preventable. I mean, but they
like we're talking upstairs, they had those robots in development that would have worked and would have withstood the radiation. And then someone was like, nah, we're not going to have like a Chernobyl level event. That would never happen. And so they decommissioned the project and took the robots apart and donated the parts.
Right.
Like,
And then guess who is getting all of the cleanup and fix it money?
TEPCO.
Yep. Like, how much did you say they were getting?
They've gotten
where the pets go?
Yeah.
That's right.
They've gotten $70 billion. At the time of the documentary I watched, they got $70 billion and they were complaining that that's not near enough and it's going to be upwards of $240 billion. But there's estimates that they're going to be
yen though?
No, that was converted to US dollars. Yeah. Well, yen is 93 cents a dollar. Okay. So it's roughly pretty close. Yeah. Which is kind of scary because it used to be like half US dollars is going down. But yeah, they estimate that it's going to be 30 to 40 years before anything's even going to be able to be done.
Right.
Like it's just an ongoing, I mean, look at Chernobyl, same shit.
TEPCO is just going to be getting government checks for 30 years to clean up the fucking mess they made by not securing the power plant.
Yeah. And like I said, before we started, there was another power plant further north, in Japan on the coast that had, 50 meter walls or whatever. And this one had like a 14 meter wall. So you said 14 foot earlier, the wall. It's 14 meters.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a fairly high wall, but 14 compared to 50.
Now, their walls were small.
No.
The 36 foot high, the 12 meter wave breached the wall.
Oh, maybe it was only. Yeah, maybe it was only that.
Well, there was. Now they're building 5-story walls around it. And the fishermen are saying that they're like, that concrete's not going to stop the ocean. It tore down buildings and
Well, no. Where the epicenter where the tsunami hit the hardest, this other power plant, because of the walls were, they were 50 meters. Actually, people were actually going to the power plant to seek refuge because it wasn't hit.
They do not have 50 meter walls.
That's what
That's
was.
That's a Trump wall. That's like 150 feet in the air. It's more than 100. A meter is 3.6 feet. That's huge. That's like a 200 foot wall. That doesn't exist.
That's what,
That's that can't be.
I don't know.
A 200-foot concrete barrier wall up into the sky. That's like Game of Thrones.
Yeah, and it keeps Mexicans out.
Yeah. Well, there's no
there was not the one Mexican in there.
And I call wetbacks for nothing. That's a long swim, but it's doable.
I think Japan had one illegal Mexican immigrant on accident because he got on the wrong boat. That shit did not happen.
Well, it's like ants though. Like you like see the wall and you have to go back and tell everybody else. No, there's a wall.
He got off. He's all damn fool. I'm barely gonna get some sushi. I heard about this shit.
But no, regardless, this other power plant had sufficient walls enough that people were hiding behind them.
Right.
And the Fukushima plant didn't and was a complete disaster.
It was basically like whatever the footage was, it was like 3 times the height of the Fukushima wall. It was
so maybe
literally
30
was.
Feet, not 200 maybe. Feet. Yeah, there's no way.
And I mean, to be honest, another big problem is I know that the Fukushima Daini reactor, which was the other one run by the same company in the same city, et cetera, was higher up in elevation.
Right.
The Daiichi plant is on the ocean.
They need
the seawater to help cool stuff. But I mean, it is on the ocean. The other plant was higher up, so the tsunami just never hit it.
God, doesn't it seem like you just run a pipeline for just water?
Yeah.
Rather than build it next to the ocean?
Yes.
We had the San Diego one. Yep. It's right there. They build them next to the ocean.
Yep.
God, that's such a bad plan.
That's such a bad plan.
And Fukushima's one of the top 15 power plants in the world. Like, so it's fucking huge.
Right.
Considering we have hundreds in the United States, this is one of the top 15.
And I will admit, I didn't look into the radiation levels in Japan. I didn't look into the radiation levels in Asia. I didn't look into it. I was just looking because everybody here talks about the radiation levels.
Well, there's definitely, like, I know we're saying, like, everywhere else is okay, but there's increased incidence of thyroid cancer in children where it was like 1 in 100,000.
No, that's actually a contradiction because I saw stuff where actually the thyroid cancer was down from normal.
I saw like little kids with thyroid cancer. Like,
well,
on
you're going to see that.
Yeah.
But the thing was, like from reports, and this was a new report that thyroid cancer in children was actually down.
Well, it could be down much more. It was 1 in 100,000 from the interview that I watched. So I don't know. I mean, that's thyroid cancer is the thing to get because your thyroid will uptake the cesium or whatever because it thinks that it's that same chemical bond.
Right.
And that's why you take the iodine stuff. So I don't know.
I don't know. End of the day, TEPCO fucked up and could have prevented the bulk of this if they weren't trying to save a couple of fucking yen. I mean, that's the bottom line. You can't predict how big a fucking storm's going to be. If you live in an area where there's anything like a levee or a fucking dike that prevents water from flooding your town or whatever, and the rationale of not making it better is, oh, a storm that big will never hit.
Right.
Move. Just fucking move because the storm is
going to
hit.
We live, like you said, San Andreas, like it's going to hit sooner or later, you know.
And I live here fully aware that it's going to hit.
And look where we're at right now.
I'm not moving.
We're in a basement right
Good
now.
Good chance we're getting smashed.
Yeah.
Well, do what they teach us. Stand under the beam.
Yeah, we'll stand
under the beam. We need earthquake pods. It'll just look like an outhouse in the corner. Like we'll put 3 earthquake pods.
Well, at least everybody knows we're recording in the basement right now, so they'll...
Well, it says TEPCO chopped 25 meters off of the 35-meter natural seawall. So, 35 meters...
seawall. Natural.
Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't build a wall. That was like a cliff.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. Yeah. The other wall that one was behind was a 56-meter seawall.
Right.
So...
Seawall I can see. Natural. I just didn't see us building...
No, you're thinking of like a brick
concrete, just like looking up at like, no way.
But that's so, even bad too. Like they had to get rid of all that ground because it was irradiated.
Yeah.
So now the next time there's a tsunami,
yeah,
the seawall is half as tall. So the tsunami is going to fuck everything up even more.
Yeah.
Like that's they not John good. Snow
at the top of that wall, dude.
Yeah, they do.
That's all they need.
Yeah.
He won't help. He just thinks winter's coming constantly.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're over our allotted time.
Are we having allotted time?
Yeah, we do.
We're almost an hour and a half.
Oh, wow.
That's long.
All right.
Sponsors.
Sponsors. Thank you to El Yucateco Hot Sauce for helping me with my Captain Crunch chicken this weekend. Oh, and I did make my famous side of homemade ranch with that triple X inside. I don't care what you put
spicy
that on.
Spicy ranch. It's good.
Yeah, it's so good. Habanero ranch. Do that. Thank you to printdirtcheap.com for our stickers. Maybe Brad this round might have those last two done so I can get the stickers ordered.
What?
I'm throwing you under the bus. You're under the sticker bus right now.
I got shit to do.
Like make the last two sticker logos.
They're done.
They're done? Yeah. Are they in the Google Drive?
No.
Son of a bitch. I'm going to drive to your house. Let's do it. Is that your laptop? Are they right there on your laptop?
Man, no.
Yes. They're on a drive at home. I'm getting those motherfuckers.
They're on a drive at home right now.
They better not be. They're on that laptop.
I don't think so. I don't know if I can find
them. All right. Well, thank you to printdirtcheap.com. Thank you to Digital Creations. Thank you to Dark Side Graphics for our shirts. Thank you to Dan Camarillo. And you can log into armhunter.com to get geese. Ness from class really wanted us to start talking shit on Dan again, but I just don't think that's a good idea.
No.
If he grows his mullet back, we can do that.
The giggly mullet.
I don't know. I don't want to talk shit about him because he posts nice stuff about us.
He's
on
a genuinely cool guy. Yeah. It was fun talking shit, and I was kind
of
scared.
I like when you're doing it because then I can like make fun of you. And
it all started because you guys would pretend that I was talking shit, and it would just scare the hell out of me. And
it's funny. I mean, you still do. I just don't ever want to say it anymore.
I just think it's funny that he always says we pretend that he was talking shit.
There it goes. Like that fire. I feel like I'm missing a sponsor there somewhere.
Salt 7
Float Center.
Salt 7 for your flotations.
And then shout out to Indigo Float. He got Bill Baroni to give us a shout out, which is pretty cool. That's an old school name in UFC and MMA, but still a very relevant man. He would whoop all of our asses at the same time.
Yeah.
Brad didn't think so probably though, but I'm going to say he's a, what is this? What was his bite name? I can't remember. Like
sometimes a good ass whooping is good for you.
Yeah. So if it wasn't for tsunamis, I'd move to Thailand, but I'm scared of dengue fever and whatever else they have there. Is there some
dengue fever?
Yeah. It's like a mosquito borne disease. I told that guy, he was like, my buddy Joe in Thailand was like, hey, he's like, man, you should come on holiday here. And I was like, no, man, I saw my buddy has a friend who got dengue fever there. He's like, yeah, my buddy has a friend who got shot in the United States. I was like, touche, sir. So, and shout out to Steve at Indigo Float, too. He shared some of our posts this week. So those guys are awesome over there, Indigo Float. If you're ever in Thailand, Phuket, go say hi to Joe and Steve at Indigo Float.
Yep.
That's all I got.
All right. Don't be retarded.